WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
He has Elvis Costello's old rhythm section, the Everly Brothers guitarist, Van Morrison's keyboardist, and a name taken from a Bob Dylan record. John Wesley Harding's first American record also shows the influence of his heroes from Phil Spector to Phil Oakes. John Wesley Harding was working on a doctorate at Cambridge University when he dropped out to begin his rock career. The 24-year-old singer, songwriter, and guitarist is currently touring the U.S. While in Philadelphia, he stopped by our studios with his guitar. But before he performs, we have some music from his new record. This is the title track, Here Comes the Groom.
With half an eye on history, half an ounce of hope, sold his soul in the vestry, money borrowed rope, been this way a million times, but now his time is nigh. He steps into the spotlight, he wants to say hi, hello. We're so glad you came, you've never seen me before. Were you so ambitious, were he so game? Yesterday he was dressed the same, and then he was so much easier to ignore. Here comes the groom.
I have to confess to you that the first time I heard Here Comes the Groom was on the radio. And my first reaction was, oh, this must be from an Elvis Costello record that I haven't heard yet. And I know you've probably heard things about comparisons to Elvis Costello, but I wonder what your reaction to that is.
Well, I'm obviously very, you know, much better looking and thinner than he is, so I'm, you know, I'm quite happy about it. But no, I mean, seriously, it had never occurred to me in the whole of my life, and I've only been writing songs now for about 2.5 years, but it had never occurred to me that I sounded like Elvis Costello. And so when they offered me a band to play with, and I went for the attractions. I mean, if at that time I'd been worried that I was going to end up sounding like Elvis Costello, I mean, I don't think I'd have got the attractions. It would have been a foolish move, do you know what I mean? And I would have been rather worried about it.
Your bass player and drummer were members of the attractions, Elvis Costello's band.
Greatest band in the world.
How did you get hooked up with them?
Literally, I knew them through my manager, the Colonel, and you know, I knew them and I wanted to, we needed a band to get together for the album. And when Sia signed me, they said, are you thinking of a band? I said, yeah, we're going to use Pete and Bruce Thomas. They went, great, you know, great. That's really good news. And so we used them. And I mean, they are brilliant. That we cut the whole album, but every backing track on this album was cut in 5 days. And only 3 of those were in the studio. The other 2 days were rehearsing.
Why don't we play your single, your single from the new record, The Devil in Me. Is there a story behind the song, behind the writing of it?
Well, I'll tell you where I wrote it. I wrote it backstage after I supported Tom Robinson at a Tom Robinson concert. And the phrase kept on popping up to me. The phrase kept on popping up. And I think, like, with the arts that I like, which is like cinema and books, they allow themselves to quote from their own history. You can't understand Wings of Desire, to arty film. You can't understand Wings of Desire unless you know about It's a Wonderful Life. It's a crucial, unwritten element of Wings of Desire. You can't understand Bonfire of the Vanities unless you've read a good Dickens, I think. You know, and they quote from themselves. A lot of literature is a response to other literature. Really good. And it's allowed to do that. Rock music doesn't do that. And so what I try and do is, like, in The Devil in Me is meant to be a human sample of Sympathy for the Devil, making a song that was sexy, apolitical, immoral, because that was what the Rolling Stones are about, and nothing wrong with that because they're a great band, and bringing it into the 90s.
Well, I gave you acid rain and I polluted the sea, and I covered your thoughts up with graffiti. Well, you can call me by my real name. Yeah, you can call me humanity. We'll be right back.
only been writing songs for, what, a couple of years?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years.
Well, how did you start writing songs?
I remember getting a Bob Dylan songbook and listening to Robert Johnson records. But then within a week of learning, like, G, C and D, I'd written a song in it. So, you know.
You play acoustic guitar?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. Is it swell to still play acoustic guitar and be portable with it?
Yeah.
To be able to, like, take a guitar into the studio now and just, like, play your songs?
That's
not have to worry about plugging in or it sounding...
And I can
electric
go
guitars
to,
sometimes sound funny when they're unaccompanied,
I mean, I'd never play an electric guitar unaccompanied,
mm-hmm.
apart from when I break a string and I don't have another, apart from my electric guitar. I love to be portable, and that's why, I mean, I've been on tour since January the 17th. It looks like I'm going to be on tour till the end of July, and I love it. I mean, it's very tiring, but I can play at a record store. I can walk into a record store and say to the owner, have you heard of me? Do you mind if I play? And generally they go, of course, yes, please. And I play a couple of songs. And if there are people there, they'll go and buy my record.
So what gave you the sense that you could get a record company deal, you know, that
arrogance.
You could make it professionally?
Just, I don't know, arrogance, egomania, sense of humour. I don't know what it was, but I just, you know, it's like... My first album, which came out in England, it happened one night. We recorded in an hour, and it cost like £200. And I did it like that because out of that kind of mock integrity thing. But not enough people bought it. Not enough people saw it. This is my whole argument with the alternative labels. It's great that Jello Biafra's on this label that you can't buy in most of the shops in the world. Very good, you know. But not for me, you know. I want people to hear my music. And the then what you have to do is say, well, how far do you play the game? What is the game, and how far do you want to play it?
As a newcomer, I'm sure that your record company and your management has floated all kinds of ideas about how you should be promoted and what your image should be and all this kind of stuff. Are you in on that?
Well, that's the interesting thing.
Do they have to consult you before saying, we're going to put out this poster?
Nobody does anything without consulting me because they know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they don't know it because they know because my power is that of an ant compared to a record company. But... I mean, I'm the one with all the ideas anyway. You know what I mean? I chose the musicians. The producer was foisted upon me, I'm very happy to say. The order of the tracks, the lyrics of the tracks. I made the video. I wrote the video myself. I choose what to sing on stage every night. I mean, nobody's told me what to say in this interview. I wear what I want. I'm completely uninterested in packaging, being packaged in any way for anything other than my songs. I never want to appear in public not wearing the leather jacket that's made me famous. Or, do you know what I mean? Or without the drink that I advertise. I'm not interested in packaging. And so on the cover of my album, I just put my face with no clothes on. So you can't tell what kind of music it is. It could be any, it could be a white soul singer.
You say you're not into packaging, but your name is in a way packaging since it's not your birth name.
The name, but it's kind of anti-packaging because everybody's first reaction is what an incredibly bad idea, which I really like. Because I've tried to make my career so far a lot of things that other people would spit at and make it work. You know, like the irony of it is that although the name seems like a very calculating move, it really wasn't because my real name is Wesley Harding Stace. And when I used to turn up these Hot House Flowers gig with the guitar over my shoulder, people used to call me John Wesley Harding. It was funny because it was like my name and it was stuck and I got billed as it. And it was never a conscious decision. But having said that, I like it because like 30 years ago, it was cool to change your name. 20 years ago, it was cool to change your name. 10 years ago, it was cool to change your name. For the last 10 years, it's been like, whoa, what a lack of integrity. You know, because like the acoustic guitar, this piece of wood now is a symbol, you know, like it sells integrity. People have worked out that you can sell this as a product. Oh, he plays an acoustic guitar. Oh, or in most cases, oh, she plays an acoustic guitar. We can sell it. Let's put one of those on the cover. Make her look depressed. Put some teardrops on the window in front of him. Bit of a blurry photo. Smash album. You know, we'll give it a great review. And I'm not into it. It just seems to be such a boring way to go about your life. So... You know, I think hard about these things, but in the end, I always come out with the most simple answer, which is just forget about it. Do what you want to do.
Can you leave us with another song that you'd play for us here?
Right. Well, I'll sing you something brand new that I wrote two weeks ago, and I played it first in a little club in Athens, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago. But I quite like it. It'll be on the next album one day. I put my forehead to the door and I heard the famous sound of infidelity. Looks like I loved and lost once more. Oh, but all's fair in love and war, supposedly. I couldn't even burst in on you. See scrabbling sheets, hear your excuse.
give you the evil eye of verbal abuse. Why do you do what you do when the things that you do hurt the person you are? Why do you do what you do when the things that you do hurt the person you are? I slammed the glass down on the bar. My problems, they hit the floor so gracefully. I don't know where I parked the car, but that's okay, 'cause tonight I'm on the town without me. Tonight it's just me and my evil twin, the one who slips one more drink in, the one who slips away when I start sinking. Why do you do what you do when the things that you do hurt the person you are? Why do we do what we do when the things that we do hurt the person we are? It's a rhetorical question. Why do you do what you do when the things that you do hurt the person you are? They hurt the person you are. The person you are.
Singer-songwriter and guitarist John Wesley Harding, his new album, Here Comes the Groom, is on Sire Records. This is Fresh Air.